7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 38 of Color of Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as always, I have my wonderful friend, Brian Allen, with me. How are you doing?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Man, you know, we're having a good time. It's been a crazy, crazy week, man. I have lots to catch people up on. So I think we talked about it last week. We mentioned that I was going to get to do coverage on the Players Tour Online 3 event with Corey Baumeister as my co-host during that segment. And we did a great job. I mean, I thought it was okay, but we had more comments. Even Corey, I mean, the people behind the scenes were super excited with both of us, which was odd to me. But, you know, hey, I'm glad everybody was entertained. Because awesome. To me, it's my first goal, right? We can be informative, but if we're not being entertaining, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, so especially late night, like especially in the U.S., we went late. I didn't get done till after 3:30 my time, a.m., means for Corey, it was like 6:30 because he's on the East Coast. So that was wild, but went over well. And then roughly, I guess it would be about 30 hours later or so. About 36 hours later, I ended up doing another coverage run for the Mythic Society in their, the Set Roulette event that they call it. So that was pretty interesting. So doing those on back-to-backs, it was fun. So, you know, that was going on. Then, of course, we had a ton of things in the Magic world that came up in the last, 3 days to talk about, which is just insane. So we're going to definitely kind of cover several things on the show this week. Also, looking ahead, a couple of things I want to mention. First is thank you to all of our new patrons, because we had quite a few. This is the third week in a row where we had just a very large run of patrons. So thank you for that. You really like us. And I think it's one of those things where, regardless of if you're at $2 or $30, $40 or whatever, anything in between, it really does matter and make a difference to us. I mean, this is going to allow, it allows everything to at least pay for itself now. And we're putting a little money in our pocket from this project. So that's cool. You know, it allows us to upgrade a couple of things, try some new things. So that's pretty sweet.
When we started 38 weeks ago, we didn't know if anybody would want to listen to us. So the fact that people actually are willing to pay money to listen to us is a pleasant surprise.
Oh, for sure. Most definitely. I mean, it's hard to even describe that any other way. When you're right, when we started, we're like, hey, we're going to do this. Some people may actually hate it. And this will just be, it is what it is, right? We'll figure it out. And it turns out exact opposite. You know, people have reached out and said, like, no, this is a thing that we felt was needed and nobody was doing it. So, we just had so many people here. And I don't even remember where we left off last week with the names because there were so many. But I think we got to Arthur Men. Ernesto Medina, there was Alexis, Boaz Christensen, William Reynolds, Rivendell, 1971, Jeff Stumpo, Carlton Parsons, Matthew Holicue, Andy Bentley, Scott Stearns, Mark Fillmore, Carson Dooley, Benjamin Passett, a nice Planeswalker, which is nice, Andre Bach, Nat Onan, Russell Lee, Alina L, Zaki Singleton, David Koski. I thought it was Guy Panzanelli, but from Guy's full name, I think it's actually Guy Panzanelli. Reuben Brinkman and Ian Keyworth. That Ian Keyworth just came in today, actually. So, yeah, so many. I have everything written for the latest ones. They will go into the mail as far as your postcards. If you haven't got them yet, you should be seeing them soon. Ian's will go out with tomorrow's mail. So, y'all are wearing my handout, and I love it. So, thank you for that. That's a lot of people, dude. Yeah. way more than I thought we were going to have. So, again, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for supporting our efforts. We're happy you enjoy it.
Another thing I want to talk about is I have some playmats that are going to be made. Well, at least I have the deal in place to make some playmats. But I'm going to have to get some artwork for them, so we can talk about that later. But I do want to get some playmats done with the show logo and stuff. So everybody who wants to either use it when we get back to playing physical Magic events again, or you just want something cool to put your stuff on your keyboard and whatnot on your computer desk, you can have that. And we should be able to sell them fairly affordably, but everybody at our top tier will also get one for free once they're done. So I'll keep everybody posted on that. So yeah, wanted to at least get that order of business out the way. And this week, this is one we both kind of agreed. This is a topic that we had to cover this week. And there were a lot of people. Okay, first, let's just start from the top. This originated most recently because of the Twitch blackout thing that's going on today as we record this. And for those of you who don't know, there's a lot of, I don't know a lot, I will say several stories that I saw to really point toward Twitch not taking action swiftly enough, or in some cases even at all, to deal with sexual harassers and or abusers, or in general, people that are just harassing people on their platform. And I don't know if this is current today, but at least from the recent past, there were things they have not done. And to that point, a bunch of people decided they were going to make Wednesday the Twitch blackout. And that meant that anybody who would normally stream on Wednesday, please opt not to stream. And just, you know, come together as a community, make a statement. Don't have a problem with this at all. Totally support the message. I don't think anybody needs to deal with that. But yeah, the interesting thing is how quick some people were kind of getting upset at others for not, well, for continuing to stream during the early access event today. And the thing is, it's a tough situation because some people don't have the luxury of just giving that day up. I mean, like we said in the pre-show, for those of you that are patrons, like, you'll hear this, but there's people that sometimes, like, you may have taken a day off work and had to use vacation time already, right? So you've given up some money to schedule that day to do your thing. I know some people who've talked about, like, oh, well, they have to make arrangements with family or whatever for the kids to be busy or whatever so they can stream uninterrupted for more than, like, an hour at a time.
Preach.
Well, yeah, you've probably dealt with that, right? Yep. So that's a thing. Like, in my case, I've literally spent the last 4 days, roughly, leading up to it saying, hey, we're going to do this thing on Wednesday, and I'm putting up these videos sequentially to, like, get people ready to see the decks I'm going to play and all this stuff, right? It's been part of my whole promotion. And then Wednesday, I was going to take that content that we're making that day, and I'm turning that into stuff the rest of the week and probably into the weekend through Sunday. So not having Wednesday actually, one, hurt some of my previous branding, and now actually takes away content I would have for 4 days. But the other side of that is, I also, you know, don't want to, for from a sports term, you know, you don't want to be a scab. Like, and just say, like, oh, I appreciate what you're doing, but, like, I still got to go do my thing. And that's difficult, man. So the decision I made was I still got on today. And I still talked about the cause, told people about the Twitch blackout. We had a donation Tiltify set up for the Joyful Heart Foundation, who raises money to help change laws around sexual harassment, to support sexual harassment victims, to help better getting rape kits and stuff dealt with in a timely manner, you know, that type of stuff. So, yeah, totally on board. And to me, it was like, okay, cool. I found a way I could still get the message out. We can still take money away from Twitch for the day. I even had it set up so people, if they were going to give me bits or whatever, just set up a separate tip jar kind of thing and they could just put it there. So no money even had to go through Twitch. And we had other people come on board who were interested. You know, and as of right now, it's time of this recording, it's over $2,500.
Awesome.
So we've raised some money and we're helping some people. And to me, it's just a different way to protest. Because part of the problem is this happened very suddenly. I didn't even know about it till somewhere between, I don't know, maybe 24 to 36 hours beforehand. I don't remember exactly when, so I'd have to go back and check my timeline. But I didn't know about it all that much sooner. So it wasn't like even if I wanted to, I could get the message out to all my people. And not only on top of that, I was sick on Monday, which is probably why stuff was going on before that. I didn't know. But I had already also taken a day off already that week. So I'm already behind on my content creation. So like it was just rough. But for me personally,
and I didn't really hear kind of there was going to be a blackout till sometime, I think Tuesday.
Well, see, there you go. Right. And from a personal perspective, I equate this to when, you know, just a couple weeks ago when everybody, which people are still protesting, but I mean, when they were at like their peak, I saw people arguing with other people saying, well, why weren't you out there? What were you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Right. And I had to step in for people and say, yo, like, they may not be comfortable with that, but they're not against your message. They're still doing other things. I saw this person sharing this story or that story or this police report or doing that thing, right? They were doing things in other ways to still support what you're doing. They just weren't on the street with you by your side. And granted, yes, we would love the majority of the people and all causes to be doing the most visible public thing. But for some people, it's either not safe, not comfortable, there's a higher risk. I don't know. There's just different things for different people. And it was tough to see some people getting, I won't say they got totally dragged, but taking some heat for doing what they felt they had to do, but still trying to find ways to support the cause in other ways. So I think we just have to be careful about that, right? There are multiple ways you can support a cause. There are multiple ways you can protest for a thing. I don't think any one thing is the right way, especially on something that gets announced or comes together in less than 2 days. That's really, really difficult in some cases to ask people to do that. I get the intentions right, and I get everybody's hearts in the right place, but it is really difficult to ask people to do that. Because I even had some people like, well, you could just stream onto YouTube or whatever. It's like, I have literally, like, recently I've hit 1,000 followers on Twitch, right? I have people that are looking forward to me being there on Wednesday that I wouldn't have a way to engage and get in touch with them in such a short amount of time and get them over to YouTube. I wouldn't even begin to know the best way to do that. So I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I get where people especially are being passionate and wanting to get more people on their side for their cause. I just think you just have to check the individuals and say, okay, cool. If you're on our side, what else are you doing if you're not doing this thing? And I think that's the fair way to look at it. But I don't know, dude, did you run into that this week?
I saw a lot of it. I ended up not streaming because I didn't have, you know, anything that couldn't be done for me on Friday. But again, I totally sympathize with people like your example that are in, you know, or having a magic launch. You know, they're not going to move that launch for you or for me or for anybody else. That's been set months in advance.
And let's be fair. Let's give credit to Wizards, and particularly to Mishy Fishy Woo over on Twitter. Her and Wizards, they have been responding to stuff pretty well this week. And I have to admit, it feels like a little bit of a change of pace, you know, like maybe. And maybe I'm being suckered in, you know, I could admit, you know, maybe it's just acting differently in the moment. We'll see if it becomes part of the culture, if you will. But their responses this week to things have been pretty swift and pretty on point. I've been very impressed with this week, especially, you know, when you go back into the stuff we've talked about over the last 4 or 5 weeks,
yeah,
where we've been at, you know. So again, like I said, we will talk about the bad things, but we also got to talk about the good things. But getting back to some normalcy, what did you learn this week, Brian?
Well, apparently Pokemon are going to do a MOBA, which I didn't think I needed any more MOBAs. I didn't think I wanted any more MOBAs. And then they put Pikachu in one. Now I can't wait to play it. They fit almost every game genre. So this is, again, it's going to be a perfect fit, I think. And I'm excited about it.
Man, you know, let's be real. I might be streaming some Pokemon Unite. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it looks really fun. 5-on-5 Pokemon battles. Come on. And I get it. You know, MOBAs have been out for forever. It's hard to come up with something new, but I think Pokemon is a perfect fit.
Yeah, I think really it's going to come down to the community. You know, I think more than anything else, because to me, that's what drove me away from playing MOBAs. Like, I think I told you, I think I talked about it on the air, right? The last time I tried playing League of Legends, literally, I didn't get out of the loading screen, the team selection screen, before I was already dealing with somebody's idiocy. And it was just like, dude, really? And then played through the next game, actually got booted out of that, got back into a game. Played through that, and it was just like, wasn't even a positive experience at all. Unless I'm playing with just my friends on a team, they just haven't been fun to play.
That's almost hoping, a required thing for MOBAs now, is to like just have your own regular group that you play with.
Yeah, see, so I'm hoping that's not necessarily the case with Pokemon. I think it'd be cool to meet some other gamers, talk to people in different game styles and genres or whatever, and expand my connections a little bit. So I'm hoping this would be a way to do that, because that sounds very cool. What excited you most about it?
You know, as I said, I didn't think I even needed or wanted to play another one, but then they put Pokemon in it. Now I'm just hyped and waiting for it. Can't wait for it to drop. I can't believe I didn't, you know, think of that before. Not that I had the rights to Pokemon to be able to do it, but they really do seem to fit almost every game genre. And there's very few characters you can say that about.
And you know what else is funny? I actually saw some people mad about that announcement, which I didn't even understand, because they have literally, like, they made Detective Pikachu, and that movie was actually all right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had, like, Pokemon Snap that they're re-releasing soon, or making a new version or whatever. But, like, all of these are awkward games and using the license in so many different ways. This is literally what Pokemon does. So why be mad about this one?
If you hate MOBAs, you ain't got to play it. Just like, you know, if you hate fighting games, you'd have to play a Pokken tournament.
Yeah, that's true.
At this point, whatever game genre you're into, there's going to be a Pokemon game for you.
Very likely. Very likely. Well, anyway, talking about what I learned last week, it was that apparently me and Corey were something that was missing in the commentary space, which feels so weird to say. Because, you know, we did the one event before, the battle against racism. And I got along with Corey great. We had a good time. And people were really positive about it. So I was like, oh, great, cool. awesome, thumbs up. We did a good job. We raised some money. And I was a little surprised by the reaction, but, you know, just went on about my business. But then last week happened, and man, it was crazy. I mean, we must have had 6-7 different threads on Twitter going about us, and people sending each of us a bunch of DMs, and the people behind the scenes were getting positive comments, and somebody started a Reddit thread about it, which was crazy. You know, and I'm like, what did we do that, man? Because don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here like trying to throw the other commentators under the bus either, because it's not like they're chopped liver. So I don't even really understand. You know, my first thought was I didn't really get why people were so hyped. Right? Was it because they found another black person or person of color to be on the program and that was enough? Like, I don't know. Maybe. That was my first thought. But what I realized is, if you watch a lot of coverage, and to some level, we've been instructed on some parts to kind of try to stick to the more, you know, you're the play-by-play, you're the color commentator, here's how you can hand off stuff back and forth or whatever. But what I feel like, and I don't know if this is true, but it feels like because Corey and I both do a fair amount of streaming, YouTubing, whatever, we don't have a problem filling that quiet space in the back and forth candor. And we don't have an issue like talking to stream and joking around and whatever, but understanding, okay, cool. Now things are getting serious. Let's talk about this part of the game. You know, all right, let's talk about opening hands. Let's let the game develop a little bit. Let's make fun of Brad for 2 minutes, you know, or whatever it is. So that seemed to work. So I don't know what to make of it. It was very interesting to me, but I guess what's working, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I was worried, okay, like, let me do this. I'll rewatch my footage. I'll take some feedback from everybody and try to make it better. But apparently what we're doing is working, so I'm going to stick with it, and we'll just see what happens. But I don't know, man. Did you get to watch any, even outside of me, how did you feel about all that?
I didn't get to watch too much of it because y'all were kind of on the on the late shift.
Yeah, we were. But it was fun. I'll be glad that we get to do it again.
I'm going to be doing that soon. So I am super nervous. I'll be leaning on you for all the pointers in the world.
Oh, really? You're going to be doing it soon?
The Plague League, we're doing commentary.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's coming up soon.
You got so many gigs, so many things going on. You know, I know.
Yeah, we'll have to keep up with that, keep everybody informed. We may need to, I'm going to have to make a calendar page on the website or something. People are like, hey, other places you can find us. We're starting to have a lot of things pop up. Yeah. And honestly,
thanks to everybody for the support. I was making a YouTube video about all the things that are coming up, and I completely forgot the commentary, so I got to go back in and add that now.
Yeah, and I think you're right. You know, thanks to everybody for the support, because that is really where a lot of this comes from. You know, when we were talking a couple weeks ago about exposure, like, this is a good example, right? I mean, get a few people listen to the show. One or two people see one of our YouTube videos. You know, now we're getting people coming along to Twitch and following us there. And that's a thing. So there's just all these opportunities that open up, even from just a small window where people get to just start seeing us and hearing us. You know, maybe not everybody's going to like us, but if some percentage of them do, then that's a huge deal. Like, even a 10 or 20% jump for a lot of new creators, that might be 20 people. That's not that many, you know? But it goes a long way.
I heard somebody describe it as, you know, I think it's basically, if you've got 10 people, that's, I guess, like a board game night, essentially. If once you've got up to, you know, 30 or 40 people, now you have a whole city bus in your stream, which made me nervous. I didn't want to think about those numbers that way at that point, but yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. 10
people, you're, you know, among the 1% at that point.
Yeah, I like that though, right? Like, if you can get to 40 people, that's effectively like 3/4 of a bus or whatever. Like, that's cool. Like, that's saying, like, you could entertain a bus full of people. And I think that's at least a visual people can accept in their head when they're talking about it. I actually like that. So, I'll let you lead into this a little bit, but let's talk about the recent artist removals by Wizards of the Coast.
I mean, Therese, we had talked about earlier on the podcast, we knew that was coming, that they just basically were going to let her contract expire, pretty much. Which I sounds exactly what happened. They, you know, probably, I guess, had to take the duration of the contract because for legal reasons, and then just aren't going to renew.
And let me say this. I saw some people saying, well, she hasn't come out and outright said XYZ. Which, some of it you can kind of read between the lines or whatever. But the fact that, from what people have shown me, she has followed or retweeted or liked a bunch of stuff from some very questionable sources.
Yeah.
And some very negative, might even say hate, at least from what I saw, were borderline hateful comments and posts.
Yeah, I looked at some of it, and I wanted to make sure to not click on any of the links to give to give some of those people even just a penny from
yeah, agreed.
Click or anything. It was
agreed.
Some of the dark corners of the internet.
But I think what people are saying is, even if I don't say the words, whatever those, you know, say, like, I hate this type of person or whatever. But if I'm going and constantly liking comments from people that say those things,
yeah,
or I'm sharing websites or following people that say those things, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a
guilt by association.
I said that out loud.
Yeah, but I mean, you're if you're not, I guess the word is, if you're not actively against it, then that's almost as bad too.
I mean, I think once you know, social media, once you are sharing something, you're saying, hey, this is a thing I believe, or this is a thing I support.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, you know, because people, the complaint is always, where is the freedom of speech? Where you have freedom of speech, your employer has the right to not work with you if they're getting bad publicity for doing so.
Yeah, you have freedom to be judged as well. And it's one of those things, man. Like, I don't feel bad for her, because all it would have taken is, like, you know what? You're right. I need to clear all this crap up. You know, whatever. Give her 2 cents. Don't say those things. Don't follow those people. Don't whatever ever again. But this has been an ongoing thing, and the behavior appears to not have changed. So, good job, Wizards, on that. That's one down. But then there was another one.
Yeah. This one, I guess, was, this is nice breaking news. And again, the Therese stuff has been happening for a while. As I said, during the pre-show, it seems like every 10 minutes on my timeline, there is a new case with sexual assault, sexual harassment. I mean, I'm glad that these people are getting, you know, are getting outed. That's the good news. It's just shocking the things that people have been able to get away with.
You know, the only thing I will say, and this is not to make light of this, by the way, because this is not a subject that anybody should not be taking seriously. But the only, because I kept thinking, like, man, it really sucks. I've been in this, and granted, obviously this happens everywhere, but I've been in the game industry on the business side for 20 years at this point, and some change. And I have been fortunate enough to not see this stuff go down. But the only, and it's weird to me, because like, and the thing is, I'm not calling anybody a liar, because I totally believe it happens. I've known enough people that have told me things, and you know, you can connect the dots and see where the story makes sense. But the only thing I could take away is maybe I'm, and I felt kind of good about this, maybe it's just they know enough that I'll call them out on it, or that I'm a good enough guy that like, you can't have that behavior around me.
And again, Noah Bradley has at this point put out a release and admitted to sexual harassment. So this isn't alleged anymore. This is admitted.
Yeah, and I, fortunately, I guess, have never really been in a working space with him of any kind. Coincidentally, I don't think I've been in any tournaments he's been at or worked on any projects that he's been directly involved in. So, I mean, but I feel for everybody. I mean, the more stuff that came out about pictures he'd shared and, you know, the ways he tried to take advantage of some people and the weird, like, what was it? The 48 laws of power he kept as a background on his computer. Like, man, I'm not even a woman and it makes me feel gross. I mean, seriously. Like, ugh. So, yeah, and I don't even know, as a person, how you even come back from this. I don't.
Yeah, he does. Like, I can't see any scenario in which he works for Wizards again. I don't know who else he was working with.
Oh, he's definitely not working for Wizards anymore. I don't know if you can do... I mean, I guess he's done artwork for some other companies, but I assume it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Before he's not doing that. So, I mean, I guess he's going to have to get out of the fantasy art business.
I would imagine so. I can't see. Now, I say this, you know, if Mel Gibson was able to come back, then I guess almost anybody can. Because he's got a crazy, drunken, racist rant and, you know, domestic abuse on tape. So
true. I don't know, man.
Never say never in terms of people, you know, being able to make comebacks from horrible things, but I feel like we won't be in Noah for a pretty good while anyway.
Well, the dude's going to need to do, honestly, before he even does career recovery, the dude just needs to do some personal recovery.
Yeah.
Because even his apology didn't seem like he was really that upset about it.
Yeah,
that's a bit weird.
It was written, you know, the lawyers and or PR people don't look like they gave that one the once over.
Yeah, because I'm like, dude, at least then, hey, so like, yeah, look, I screwed up. Here's the things I'm doing. Here's how I'm trying to be better. Here's whatever. I owe these people an apology, whatever. But like, that wasn't really the case that went on there. So
no, there's really none of that. And I'm sure Wizards took that into account when they made their decision.
Yeah, but they came down with that pretty quick. I think it was early Tuesday we saw that. And he's apparently now going to be persona non grata. And I saw people that were like, look, I'm looking for new pieces of magic art. I'm going to take this other crap off my walls. I'm throwing it away. You know, like, yeah, people jokingly use the word cancel, but like, he might for real be canceled in the magic community. You know what I mean? Like all the way down to like, there were people requesting that the arena devs make new artwork or new card backs so they don't have to have his artwork even in that level in the game anymore.
Wow. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, dudes, I mean, for real, like just wiped out. So yeah. And you know, I don't feel bad for him. I mean,
no, he's earned this.
Yeah. It's not even like this was like a one-time thing or whatever. You had this weird relationship with somebody, nothing like that. Like,
yeah, apparently
this
is multiple counts of him touching women without their permission.
Yeah, this is a pattern. So yeah, dude had it coming.
And you know, Wizards has an opportunity here. You've lost two artists, and we've been talking for weeks about how you need more female artists, more artists of color. Hey, I'm assuming they're going to be hiring two artists here in the near future, so an opportunity. Yeah.
Starting with, I guess, what would be probably the spring or summer set at this point for next year, they probably have at least 6 or 8 pieces of art in each set open up all of a sudden. So, you know, maybe there's some opportunity there. I will say, though, I saw that they were looking for people of color to submit writing samples.
I'm excited about that. I did see that as well. And I think I saw where Ellie of the Veil said she's probably going to submit something.
Yeah, I hear Ellie's got some good fan fiction that she has still, if you're listening, Ellie, you still have not sent us copies of that. So I ain't seen some of this fanfic you're talking about. But supposedly Ellie has some good stuff.
Give it away now. I mean, she's possibly about to get paid for it.
Fair, fair. But yeah, so that's at least the thing I'll say again. Lots of stuff we've been able to tear Wizards down about in the last month. But here in the last week or so, things look like they're coming around. Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to last.
On both of these cases and swift decisions. Well, I guess, Therese, I'm sure, was under contract. I guess that's kind of just how that probably had to play out.
Sure, sure. I'm sure there's some legal stuff that we're not privy to on that stuff. But yeah, so the Players Tour Online 3 and 4 happened. They weren't nearly the, I guess, team or reclamation fest we thought we were going to see based on the previous weekend. There were several new decks, which was cool. Some big names made the top 8, which was fun. And overall, people seemed to enjoy it a little better. The coverage team was a little bigger and had some different faces, obviously excluding yours truly. There were others that people seemed to enjoy as well, too. So I think overall, that was actually a pretty positive way to, I guess we'll say, end the last season, since today, technically, we're releasing Core Set 2021 and going into a new season. But yeah, it seemed like good times.
And there's so much to go into that. You know, even if two people are individually great at commentary, they may not mesh well together. So you just, until you've tried it, you don't know how it's going to go.
That's true, too. That's true. And I think it's tough too, right? Because you have some people, and we see this on streams, you know, where some people are just great at playing the game, whether that's Magic or Fortnite or whatever, right? They are just really good players of the game, but they're not that engaging. But they'll draw audiences because people know you can learn from them, right? So people will come and just watch them, and it's going to be mostly boring, but that's not what you're there for, right? You're there for tactical stuff. But when you're trying to entertain the masses on a stream, on coverage, it becomes a completely different animal. But we'll see. Like I said, sounds like I'm going to get some more opportunities, so I'll keep you informed, man. It should be a fun ride the rest of the way here. But we have some other good news. And this is one that I woke up yesterday, I think it was, and saw a bunch of people super positive, and I went, oh wow, what happened in Magic? Are we giving away $100 bills?
Not quite. Apparently not.
But a bunch of people are excited because Arena is coming to macOS finally. And, you know, it's been a while coming. I'll be honest. I still think it's a little weird, the number of people that use Macs that don't really need them particularly. But, you know, if you're into the whole Apple ecosystem, I got you. But now, I will say this. The one thing people were upset about was that it's going to go through, what is it, Epic Games, I think.
Yeah.
So you have to download their client to get Arena or whatever on a Mac, which some people were mad about that.
I don't know. Like, go ahead. But, yeah, I'll get in on that.
No, go for it. Go for it.
I don't know who's mad about download. I get it if you just, you know, hate big companies, but Epic is crushing it right now. If you logged into an Epic Games account, you know, when they first created the store and started giving stuff away, you have received at this point over $2,000 worth of free games.
No joke?
Yeah. So I don't know why anybody would object to, you know, installing Epic on their computer. It just they're crushing it right now.
See, I didn't even know about that. I just heard about Epic
pretty much every week.
Yeah, see, I'd heard about them a few times, but nothing major. So I went to look up some things on the company to see if there was, like, I don't know, if they were known for, like, some backdoor software causing problems or something, but I couldn't find anything. So I was
I think over 60 million people that have downloaded it now. Cause again, these aren't, you know, this isn't shellware. They're giving away stuff like they gave away Civ 6 for free. Grand Theft Auto 5 for free.
See, then I don't even get it. I don't even know why people were mad. Cause I did a quick cursory glance and I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something here I just couldn't find because I wasn't going to spend more than like 20, 30 minutes that I spent looking, right? Because I figured if it wasn't that big, it probably wasn't major news. But knowing that they're giving stuff away for free and they've got 60 million users or whatever, like that seems like a reasonable partner for Wizards of the Coast to handle that. So now I'm really confused. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just, well, if you're on PC, you don't have to download anything. Why do I have to do it on a Mac? You know, maybe it's that. I don't know.
Could be.
But man, I don't know. I think that's good news. It's awesome. You're going to be able to play cross-platform, obviously, so you can challenge all your friends. All your info carries over. It's just tied to your account, so you can open it on either machine, and it's fine. Like, this seems like a win. This was... Honestly, man, like this week, the more this week went on, I'm like, this is a good week for Wizards.
They needed it because they've had a lot of bad pub for the past several weeks. So this.
Oh, I know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels weird to just be like, man, and they got that right. And they got that right. And look, we're getting Arena on Max. Man, this week's going all right for them. Like, I almost feel like that's your friend that's been down on their luck for a while. Yeah. And then, you know, they get like the new job. And then they win like $100 scratcher at the convenience store. And then, you know, they find out that like they get a refund on a thing they weren't expecting. And you're like, dude, things are finally turning around for you, dude. Like, that's sort of what this feels like.
Not pay me the money you borrowed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the next step, right?
Get off my couch, Wizards. Get your own apartment.
Speaking of other good news from Wizards, this too came out this week. That they announced they were going to have duplicate protection on M21 reprints on Arena. Because remember, one of the problems was that they had reprinted the temples, I think it was, that are going to be in the core set. And people are like, well, it's going to suck because you didn't even get new artwork, right? It was all the same, just a different expansion symbol. So nobody wants to open those. So what they've done is basically they've made a new rule for true reprints, they're calling them. I think that's, or full reprints, I think is the term they use. That if everything's the same, you know, name, card art, whatever, then when you go to open packs, if you already own four of a thing, it'll make that the last thing you open of that rarity. The way I understood it. So if you own four, whichever one of the temples, say Temple of Blue Red or whatever, right? And you would open another one, it moves that to be a later one that you would open. And then my understanding is you won't open more than one once you do open them. So it limits the number of cards you would get just duplicates of because everything's exactly the same. Now in the future, when the artwork's different, you'll probably have normal odds of opening one. But I think that's a reasonable compromise for now. This feels pretty good.
It's a good compromise, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, I'm on board with this. Like I said, another one where we were just like, man, look at this. We got this right, too. Like, all right. And I don't know if it was something they already had in the works or if they were responding to the complaints that were floating around like this time last week. But either way, you managed to get it done. You got it programmed. You got the announcement out. Everything seems like it worked well. They also had a state of the game that we can talk about probably next week, but that came out and people responded pretty positively to that as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. This feels like a good week for Wizards PR compared to the last, like, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I'll give a, see if you can hear that over the mic. I'll give a golf clap.
And the unfortunate thing is, this is the kind of stuff that only the hardcore players care about. You won't see this on the front page of Yahoo or on Joe Rogan's podcast, like, because it's not as sexy a headline as Magic is racist, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
For people that actually play the game every week, this is good stuff.
And that's the tough part about the news cycle, right? It's like we talk about on the show, like everybody wants to talk about the negative things. But we also need to give some face time to the positive things too. Because those go hand in hand to making up products. But yeah, so this artist thing we talked about at the top of the show. We still need some artists. Me particularly, I need some artists. I need a new emote artist. Someone that can do small little Twitch emote size dragons. If somebody can hook that up, I'm willing to pay for it. Drop me a message on Twitter. I'm easy to find.
Bitcoin's money.
Yeah, I'm trying to give it away right now. So yeah, definitely help us out with that. And then, like I said, we want to do a new cover art for the podcast. One, because y'all have done a great job helping share the show around. People are starting to download it a lot more. So now that we know we're a real thing, I want to at least give it a real cover. So need somebody to do that. And then we're probably going to use that, like I said, on playmats. So I have the deal in place to get them produced, but I need the artwork first. I don't need to force the artwork. I just need it first. But once we get it done, then we'll have those to sell and or give away to those that are just going to get them. So
this is the first time in my life I've had merchandise. This is going to be great.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So I'm really, really hoping somebody steps up. First and foremost, I would love for it to be somebody from either one of our personal fan bases, whether it's Twitch or Twitter followers or whatever, or even somebody particularly from a listener of the podcast. I would love that. You know, I obviously there are artists out there in the world that we could go get, but I feel like people who work with you or listen to you or enjoy your content are probably, especially when you're talking about an artistic expression of something you do, it's going to be easier coming from somebody who understands what it is that you do. So I would love for that to be the case. So if we don't have anybody, if you do have somebody close to you that you've used for a project or you think would be good, shoot me a DM, recommend them. I will at least give them a look and give them an opportunity. Because it's something we want to get done in the next couple of weeks so we can come on, move on to other projects that are coming down the pipe. There's some fun stuff can't really talk about yet, but trying to knock things out at least in sequential order so we're not getting plowed over, I guess, with everything. But yeah, definitely, we need artists. We need artists for multiple projects. Please come help us. We want to make cool things, but I don't have the proper art skills to do the things we need.
That's me neither.
But yeah, so let's round things out and go have a seat at the dinner table, man.
I brought the potato salad.
Man, I've been working on a new fried chicken recipe, so we can do a little something with this.
Okay.
But this week we had a couple of topics we wanted to talk about. And I think on the pre-show, we kind of went back and forth a little bit on what that was going to be. And we settled on one of the things I think is a big deal lately that we're seeing. Well, let me try to find a better way to kind of frame this. I think everybody's heard the trope of the angry black person, right? I'm sure when you get upset, you've probably been referred to as that, or you at least know it's a thing and you try not to be upset in the wrong places.
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've been there, right? Like, when you're the representative of the black congregation in a space, you know the perception, so you try to watch your temper or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
But I don't think people realize that when you're on social media, and actually I'm going to use myself for this example, there's a few people I noticed that follow me on different platforms, and that's fine. But when I post stuff up, if I post something joking and funny, it might get a like if you're lucky from some of these people. If I'm sharing a picture of like some puppy doing some silly thing, maybe, maybe not, gets interaction. You know, I share some stuff from my YouTube videos that I'm putting up. You know, you might see that they looked at it, but that's about it. But yet, when I share something that's about the protest up here in Seattle, or about a black guy being hanged, or maybe how the police are doing something really absurd in Minnesota. That stuff gets instant shared, liked, you know, whatever, retweeted. And I don't think people realize that you are just further supporting the misconception of the angry black person. Because people in your circles may not necessarily have a lot of people of color or black people or whatever that they associate with. But when they see you share a thing or you comment on a thing and it always has my face attached and it's only something that's socially, racially motivated, they're probably going to always take that as angry or see that I'm always only talking about that stuff.
And under ordinary circumstances, Daquan is like the most mellow, least angry person you would encounter.
For sure. But the people they're associating with don't know that. So every time they see a black person in your timeline, it's going to be based around a protest or police brutality or, I don't know, somebody using some stupid language or whatever. They're never going to see the fun puppy pictures or me hanging out with a friend or me talking about my achievements on YouTube or whatever, right? And I think that's one of those things. Like if you want to help do less harm, I don't even say like share everything or nothing, but just be more open and aware about what you are interacting with content wise. Cause yeah, it's great to get those messages out there. And I definitely want you to share the stuff about the protests and everything else to show people like, hey, this is still wrong. Look what's still happening to people.
I mean, we are angry about a lot of stuff. Don't get that twisted.
Yeah. But the other side of that is we have more personality and we have more interest and more things going on in our life other than just worrying about the police. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What would you add to that? Because, I mean, I know you're on social media a lot as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really, like you said, trying to make sure that I'm also sharing happy things and still making people laugh and doing one of the best lives I heard about this. You know, after 9/11, people, you know, kind of, especially comedians, weren't sure what they could say or what they could do. And Rudy Giuliani goes on SNL and somebody asked him, well, okay, it's been a couple of weeks. Is it okay to be funny now? And he says, why start now? And it just completely broke the tension.
Yeah. And, you know, and you're a good example, right? You're a comedian by trade.
Yeah.
So for somebody to only see you as angry, like that actually does a disservice to you. But I'm sure people don't even consider that. It's more like, oh, well, I just want to make sure this message gets shared. I want to make sure people aren't forgetting about this. But it's like, cool. What about every time Brian shares a joke or something amusing you found on the internet?
You know, YouTube video, crazy Madden plays, all those things are options.
Yeah. I mean, hell, even just sharing your Madden stuff or whatever helps you build a brand on a video game platform. But if people aren't sharing that, you don't get that opportunity, but they're doubling down to make sure they share all the things you're mad about.
Because another thing is, you know, if we only talk to each other when we're angry about something, I'm going to have a skewed picture of you. You're going to have a skewed picture of me. When if we're not talking politics, there's probably a million things we may like the same baseball team. We might like the same, you know, I like the same chicken recipes. There's so much, you know, so much common ground we can find if we talk to each other at times other than when we're angry about something. And again, I got to be better about that also.
But yeah, I think it's just one of those things, right? It just, and I get it. Again, I think some people, their heart's in the right place, right? They don't want to skip over an opportunity to share the negatives that are out there. So people are seeing them and people don't forget about them. And that's appreciated. But at the same time, like, you got to celebrate all the positives and the good things that these people are trying to celebrate as well. Because, man, believe me, I can just go back, man, if I go look right now, I could just go back through my Twitter timeline from the last, hell, maybe just the last day. And I have stuff all over the place. But I can tell you which ones, I could almost go right down without even looking at the numbers and tell you which ones got shared the most, got the most likes, or whatever. And it's going to be stuff that's in the negative space. Except for, oddly, the comments and the compliments on the commentary. Now, make of that what you will.
Trust it, because ordinarily people, you know, primarily talk about the thing they hate. So to get people talking about something that they actually enjoyed, kudos to y'all. We got.
And I will say this. I'm going to be 100% honest here. That until a lot of people who didn't post publicly sent me messages privately about it, there was a little thing in the back of my head that was like, okay, is this either because, A, you just put a new black guy on commentary and people are excited about it or whatever, you know, because that's the space we're in right now. Or was it because it was like, nah, you really like Corey? And I was kind of like, yeah, you were pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, because it's hard to tell, right? When you see people who don't interact with any of the other stuff you post up, and then that's the one thing they mention, it's like, well, all right, well, what kind of message are you sending me here? Now, like I said, there's enough people who've spoken to me privately in various forums that, all right, I can accept that the community at large thought we did, each individually did a good job. I can accept that and own up to it. But there was a moment there where I had that thought, which sucks because I shouldn't. I'm not going to lie. I should have just went, hey, everybody's excited about it. That's great. You know, and just left it alone. But it's kind of hard not to. Like, it can be a little tough, especially with everything going on. And you know how much people want to support Black efforts and stuff right now. It kind of skews things a little bit and makes you question some things. But yeah, that's really the biggest thing, though, is just be more thoughtful about the things you're sharing. Like, yeah, it's a rough world right now. And yeah, there's a lot going on. And yeah, there's a lot of negative. But when somebody, especially right now, when a Black person you know is doing something positive, doing something creative, sharing something funny, make sure people see that too. That's how you get to changing that narrative. When you already have people who think negatively or view negatively Black people and Black culture, you know, for them to possibly see that, like, oh, I don't know, this Black dude likes cricket or whatever it is. Like, I like cricket too. I didn't know Black people like cricket in the US or whatever, right?
I didn't know that either. It's the first time hearing of it.
Well, yeah, I'm just throwing something out there, right? But who knows? I mean, I've had people find out I played disc golf before, and that was out of the blue, and we talked about it. So, like, I was able to forge another relationship because somebody just found out about a hobby I had. And that was literally because friend of a friend was talking about a thing on Facebook, and they're like, oh, hey, I didn't know you did that. Like, you know, and they'd come to the store before that I had. So it was like, okay, cool. And then we kind of just opened up from there. But those opportunities don't happen, you know, like you say, like people are like, well, I don't see enough Black artists or enough Black actors or enough Black writers or whatever. And it's like, cool. When they're sharing that stuff, make sure other people see it. If you like it, I'm not saying just pander and like, you know, I share up a thing about my latest YouTube video. If it's about some magic deck or something you don't like, then yeah, don't share it. But if it is, then cool. Retweet it, put it out there. Make sure other people see it too. You know? But I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to close this out with, Brian?
No, I think that covers it.
Cool. Man, I think I turned into the angry Black guy on that one.
Which, as y'all know, is a hard transition for Daquan to make.
Oh, man. It's all right. You know, but these are things, though, again, I think people's heart is in the right place. Truly, I do. And with everything going on, I think a lot of people just want to be in the space where they're on the right side of history, right? They don't want to be looked at as not supporting these things and ignoring these messages. And, you know, they don't want to have to answer their kids eventually saying, hey, why did you turn a blind eye to this? You know, and I get that. But the other side of that is, okay, cool. If you really want to help the culture, help change the image of the culture as well. Because honestly, and I am super thankful, but I really have to thank Brad in some ways, Nelson, for coming forward and saying like, hey, do you want to help and commentate on this battle against racism event? Because him, and I don't know, maybe it's because he saw my YouTube stuff, or I don't know, maybe I knew a couple of people he knew. I have no idea how it even came up. I never asked him. But him even giving me that much of an opportunity literally has changed the things I can do now in the social space and broadcasting, commentary, YouTube in a matter of 2 weeks. And that was just one thing. Imagine if everybody did that for somebody. Hell, once a year. Like, that'd be so many new opportunities. And maybe they're not that big. Maybe it's not something you're putting someone in front of 1,000 people. But you know what? You share somebody's passion project with your social circles, and maybe that's only 200 people. But all it takes is one right person to see it and invite them to work on something, or to do a piece of art for a thing, or to get them to write for a website or a magazine. And that could change somebody's life.
Definitely.
And change the perspective of how somebody's viewed. Swinny, on that note, Brian, tell people how they can find you on social.
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. And our family channel is Alan's Ever After on YouTube.
And I am Power Dragon, PowerDragon. You can find me on most social platforms, mostly on YouTube daily, and you can find me streaming on Twitch Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. Otherwise, you can just find me hanging around on Facebook, Twitter, find my, I guess you'll call them self-help tips on Instagram. I don't know. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. So wherever you are listening, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and stay safe out there. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.